Good morning, Christ United. Hey, if God's been good to you, give it back to Him the way He deserves. If you hadn't been in a part of this, we are in a series that is truly a life-changing series called Principle of the Path. Based on a book that is a life changer itself, but we talked last week. If you weren't here, we encourage you to dive in, because this is about how to get from where you are to where you truly want to be and where God desires for you to be. This week, when we talk about the path to where God wants you to be, we're going to talk about three things, and that's shortcuts, warning signs, and crossroads. And by the time we're finished, you're going to realize that shortcuts have truly impacted the path that you've taken, warning signs have been in front of you, and that you may be at a crossroads even today. And so, first of all, I want you to know that we all have one thing in common. You and I both share this, and that is we prefer shortcuts. We particularly prefer shortcuts when the path seems to be long and difficult. We'd rather do the shortcut. I have a couple of illustrations that I've shared with our congregation in the past that we're going to use as a foundation for this today. One of those is when I was a kid growing up in Lake Hills, North Carolina, there was a path that would take you straight from my friend's house to my house in almost no time. You just had to wade across this shallow stream to get there. We were told never to do it. We didn't realize that the bottom of it was eel gut slick and it swept down to a waterfall, but we felt like, man, we want to get there fast. And so rather than taking the 20-minute route around, it was easier to take the shortcut and get across. We all have that tendency of, I know what I want. I want it now. It's not going to hurt me. I just need to take this shortcut. Another great example of this was shared by Gary Collins, a famous Christian counselor, who said a man came to him one time and said, Doc, I want to feel good fast. And when he said, okay, you want to feel good fast? Yeah. He said, well, do you have any equity in your home? Yeah, $30,000. He said, well, take out an equity line on your home. Go use that money that you borrow and go hire the prettiest prostitute you can find. I want you to get the best drugs you can get. I want you to get a trip to wherever you want to be in the world and go blow it in a week and a half, and you will feel good fast. And the guy said, wait a minute, I thought you were a Christian. And he said, I am a Christian. I'm a Christian counselor. But if you want to feel good fast, the devil has the answer for how to feel good fast. If you want to know how to have a feel good that's going to last, he said, then I'll talk to you, because this is going to mean some hard things up front so that you can have something that lasts in your life. Now, here's the reality is our desire to feel good fast, our preference for shortcuts, is why we pick up the vodka. It's why we take the Valium that was given to us by a friend. It's why you shop Scripps. It's why you go to a fast food place instead of taking the time to make a healthy meal. It's we want to feel good fast. It's what leads us to have sex before we're married, to move somebody into our home before we have a covenant for life. It's what causes us to gravitate toward pornography or strip clubs or adulterous affairs. It's, I want to feel good now. I want to feel good fast. And not always those big things. It's the reason why we go to a movie or out to play some games with our friends instead of doing our homework. I want to feel good tonight, now. It's why we go to the beach or we go to the river instead of going to church. It's why you sit and watch television instead of cutting it off and getting up and working on your family budget. I want to feel good now. What matters to me is now. It's why when you have conflict with somebody, you just prefer to ignore them rather than go through the hard work of repairing that relationship, because I want to feel good now. I don't want to feel bad. I don't want to have to deal with this. And it's the reason that you skip school. It's the reason you hit snooze several times and oversleep and you're late for work. It's the reason that you go fishing instead of work on the project. It's the reason that we do many of the disobedient things we do. It's also the reason that we go on vacations that we can't afford and then pay for them later. It's the reason we take out credit cards. It's the reason that on QVC and HSN you use the so-called easy payment plan, because I want what I want now and I'll pay for it down the road. It's why we spend our tax refund instead of putting it into savings. It's why you buy the lottery ticket or put the bet on the game instead of taking that money to pay down debt. But here's the problem with it. What Scripture tells us is that when we choose that shortcut, I want to feel good fast, I want to get relief fast, we get that shortcut, we get the immediate relief, we get the immediate feel good, and then we pay for it long term. And so he says, yes, wine sparkles in the cup, it goes down smoothly. It brings you some immediate benefit. But then he says, in the end, that it, well, that's the kids crossing the stream anyway. In the end, it bites like a snake and poisons like a viper. I get some immediate relief, but then I'm swept into something that brings me ultimate pain. When it comes to sexuality, Solomon said, the lips of an adulteress drip honey, her speech is smoother than oil. I mean, it's nice, it feels good, it's great. But in the end, he says, she's bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. So you get it. I get some immediate pleasure, but then I pay for that pleasure over a long time. Never more true than it is in the case of money, where Solomon said, those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies will have their fill of poverty. And you know the reality that so many people, your financial plan is to win the Reader's Digest sweepstakes, you know, to have a rich uncle die, to win the lottery, you know. Your chances are about as good as being struck by lightning, but that's your plan. And the reality is that as we do that and we want to enjoy the immediate pleasure and hope that somehow in the end it's going to work out, we end up actually suffering in the end. And what's interesting is Solomon said, even if some of those really quick solutions, like let me take the shortcut, let me do something God said don't do so that maybe I can get a windfall profit, he says, even in the end, that doesn't pay off, Solomon said. An inheritance quickly gained at the beginning will not be blessed at the end. And that bears itself out in the research of the Institute or the Foundation for Financial Education in the United States. They found that if a person receives a windfall of money, a large sum of money, that 70% of them within 7 years will be to a point of financial disaster. It just doesn't ultimately pay off in the end. And so in the same way, New York Times said that for those who win the lottery, 90% of them have gone through every dime they have within 5 years. In fact, there was some research done by Vanderbilt University and University of Pittsburgh and University of Kentucky, and they found out that the more money somebody wins in something like the lottery, the greater chance that they'll be bankrupt in 5 years. And so the problem is that we look for the fast fix, and we look for the feel-good fast, and we look for the shortcut, and those shortcuts, according to Scripture, say, watch out, because if you're going to be disobedient to the principles and the path that I put you on toward what it is that I have for you, then you're going to suffer as a result of taking those shortcuts. But here's what we do. How many people know that we love shortcuts so much that we actually will use shortcuts to get out of the trouble we got in by using a shortcut? Do you know what I'm talking about? And so what happens when all of a sudden you realize, oh my goodness, I don't have the money to pay the bills because I tried to take shortcuts and I'm in a place where I'm not doing, and what do? We say, well, I take another shortcut. Let me get a payday loan, or let me take out an equity line on my home, or let me borrow money from a neighbor. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we go, well, let me do a debt consolidation. Let me do something to bring immediate relief, but those steps that we take to bring immediate relief are shortcuts that bring us further into the trouble we were in to begin with. And so what happens when a young couple gets pregnant? Well, you get pregnant and you've got this disastrous kind of feeling, even though a baby is a gift from God, but yet the situation isn't what it should be. What's an easy solution? Have an abortion. And so I want to feel good fast. I want to get this problem off my back and let me have the abortion. But then you have years and years and years of suffering, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, because of the fact that you made that decision. And so, in the same way, when you're behind in education and you realize I haven't been studying, I haven't been caught up, what do I do? Cheat. I can just, you know, pay for a paper online, or I can get the answers from somebody and get the grade. What happens when you realize you're late for work? You hit the snooze 7 times and all of a sudden you're late for work. Well, you take another shortcut. I'll drive 70 in a 55, and $400 and 4 points later, you're going like, God, you know, when am I going to get this? That I keep taking shortcuts. And then when your substance abuse brings it to the point that now the family's calling you forward and there's trouble and there's stuff happening around you, you take the shortcut. Well, I just need to go get drunk. This is just too much pressure for me. And so we constantly go back to the shortcuts, and we constantly do that because here's the reality, guys, is that staying on the right path requires mastering the art of delayed gratification. Mastering the art of delayed gratification is something you must do if you're going to stay on the path that God has for you. And let me give you a great example of a master of delayed gratification. And that's a guy named Moses, you may be familiar with. Moses was born among the Israelites. Israelites were in bondage. The people of God were in bondage to Egypt and the Pharaoh of Egypt. And Pharaoh had said that all the boys who were born, their mamas had to throw them into the Nile and drown them. Is how bad it was at the time. So Moses' mama, instead of throwing him into the Nile, made a basket and covered it with pitch and set it into the reeds at the edge of the Nile, saying, by the grace of God, I hope that my child will be saved. And man, it's like he won the lottery. All of a sudden, along comes Pharaoh's daughter, sees him there, and she takes him to herself and begins to raise him, which is so cool. But then he has a big decision to make, and that is, how about should I enjoy my opportunity to feel good fast, which I can just live my life as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, which means I have all the privileges and all the wealth and all the power and everything afforded me under Pharaoh, but what do I sacrifice? I sacrifice my position with God, my calling in God, my relationship with God, and my relationships with all of God's people. And so we had to make a decision. Am I going to enjoy the privileges and feel good fast, or am I going to take the hard steps of standing with God's people and possibly suffer in the short term so I can have a long-term gain? Well, here's what Hebrews says happened with Moses. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. And then it says, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Everybody get the picture? He had mastered the art of delayed gratification. He recognized, I got something ahead of me that is awesome, that's eternal, that's significant beyond my imagination. I will not sacrifice that destination for a short-term fix and for something that's going to make me feel good in the short term. We want gratification now. It's just our nature. When I was in the mountains and I was doing biking, I didn't just do mountain biking, I did road biking. And as I was doing road biking, I ran into a gentleman who was from that area and really great guy, former FBI. And I said, hey man, tell me about a good path to ride. And he said, well, have you been on the mountain parkway yet with your bicycle? And I said, no. He said, oh, I'll tell you a great route. So he said, go up to the Lynn Cove Viaduct, the visitor center there, and get on the mountain parkway there. He said, go about 6 miles north, and if you go 6 miles north, you're going to get off and you're going to get on 221, and 221 is going to take you back up and you're going to come back around to the visitor center. He said, it's a great ride. You're just going to love it. So I got up there, went to the visitor center, unloaded my bike, and started down the Blue Ridge Parkway. How many people have been on the Blue Ridge Parkway? Oh, it's awesome. And so I'm going down the Blue Ridge Parkway, and it was so good. I said, I love this guy. He's got it. It's awesome, because I was going probably 40 miles an hour, not having to pedal every now and then, just pedal a little bit, and I'm just... It was awesome. I thought, how did he route me out of downhill the whole way? That was so cool. So anyway, I made my way down, and it was beautiful, and everything was just rocking. And when I got down to where he said exit off to get on 221, I did so, and I went to this little station there. As I looked at 221, I wanted to make sure I didn't take the wrong direction on 221. So I went into the station, and I said, I was told I needed to go back south on 221. South to me says downhill. Anyway. Go back south on 221, and I said, which way do I go? She said, oh, so you're going to climb the mountain. That was my first hint that this was not a good route at all. It was 8 miles uphill. I'm like, pedal, going 1 mile an hour, literally, this fast. Pedal. And as I pedaled for like what seemed like 7 hours to get back to the top of the hill, I was going to call the guy because he left me his number to tell me how I liked the trip. And I'm going to call him. I still hadn't done it. I'm going to say, I love the trip. I just hate the order. Next time, man, I'm going to climb those 8 miles first. And then I'm going to enjoy the 6 miles down. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But what's our tendency? Our tendency in human nature is I want to feel good fast. I want to go ahead and enjoy the six mile downhill trek. And then I'll pay the price over the next 3.5-4 hours as I pedal my way up the hill. And so here's the thing. We do that in every area of our life. Young folks hop in bed and enjoy the pleasure for a moment and then work out the problems over the next 30 years of their life. People jump into, you eat the whole half gallon of Chunky Monkey ice cream and then you pay for it over months and sometimes years as you try to get your health back where it was supposed to be. We go out with our friends and we have a blast instead of studying for the test or doing the paper, and then we spend a whole semester playing catch up because we've taken a step that took us behind in what it was that we knew we needed to do to begin with. We go ahead and buy the riding lawnmower or the dress, even though we can't afford it, and then we pay for it long after the dress is out of style and the lawnmower has begun breaking down. We're still trying to pay down our debt. And so we choose to have the fun and then pay for the fun down the road. But those who have mastered the art of this beautiful gift of delayed gratification, man, is there a benefit in that? And if you hadn't done, how many people have done Financial Peace University before? All right. If you hadn't done it, I encourage you with all my heart to sign up for it. Please sign up, especially young guys. Sign up for it immediately. Get into that course. In it, Dave Ramsey shares the story of two guys, Ben and Arthur. They're fictional, identical twins. Everything's the same in these two guys' lives. And they're gonna make some decisions at 19 years old. And I'm going to modify his example a little bit. I'm just going to say this. They got $167, each of them, this discretionary income. They don't owe it on any bills. They've just got $167 extra at the end of every month. And so at 19 years old, they make a decision about what to do with it. Arthur makes the very typical decision of a 19-year-old. Both of them drive these old pickup trucks. They aren't really that old. They probably still got 15 years left in them. But these pickup trucks, and they're getting them around. But what Arthur realizes is, for $167 extra a month, I can actually trade my truck in on a Z71 with a lift kit and with alloy rims and with the roll bar and the spotlights and a winch on the front, and I'm going to be rocking a Bose sound system just for $167 a month. And so he does that, and he puts the money there for 4 years. Then after 4 years, he goes, my truck now, I can get a jet ski for $167 a month for the next 4 years, and I can have a jet ski and pull it behind my boat, and all the girls can want to ride with me, and everything's going to be great. So he does that. But then Ben, who has mastered the art of delayed gratification, says, I think I'll take that $167 a month. I'll keep driving my old truck, and I'll take the $167, and I will invest it in a mutual fund. And let's just say it's like it was over a period of time in our past where he gained 12% on that mutual fund over the remainder of his time. By the time he quit putting that money aside 8 years later, you remember his brother now has a truck that originally it was really spotless and had the rims and all that kind of stuff. Now the truck's getting old anyway, and the jet ski's starting to sputter and splat and everything else. But that's what he had for his $167 a month after the end of those 8 years. But Ben said, I tell you what, I put that money aside, and then he comes to Arthur and he says, you know what, Arthur? He says, based on what money I've got in this mutual fund right now, when I am 65 years old, you know how much money I'm going to have? I'm not going to give any more. I've just put in for these 8 years. I'm going to stop putting in, and I'm just going to leave that money there until I retire. You know how much money I'm going to have when I'm 65? That amount at $167 a month is $2,288,996. And Arthur's going, I'm an idiot. Why didn't I get this? And somebody would say, well, the 12% return is really high. Cut it in half. My buddy's still a millionaire. He's still a millionaire. And he's a millionaire instead of having a truck with hot rims for 4 years and a jet ski for four. He's lined up to where now, for the rest of his life, he's got the 167 free, but he's also got a beautiful, beautiful retirement waiting on him. Now, so how many people know this to be true? Solomon said it was true. He said, dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. And all of a sudden, Arthur says, man, I'm going to start gathering now. How many of you young guys think this? One day I'm going to start saving money. Because one day I'm going to be facing retirement and it'll be time for me to start saving money. Honestly, how many of you think one day I'm going to start saving money, all right? How many adults think one day I'm going to start saving money? Honestly, one day I'm going to start saving money. So at 27 years old, Arthur decides, I'm going to start saving money. I had my fun. I ran downhill at 60, 6 miles of blowing wind through the air, hair. It's just awesome. It was so much fun. And now I'm going to start saving and I'll catch up, right? And so he begins putting the 167 in, but instead of for 8 years, he does it for the next 38 years. So for 38 years, he puts in the same 167. When he gets to the end, since his brother stopped after 8 years, you figure he's going to be ahead, right? Here's the results. The results are Ben put in that 16,000 over those 9 years, I should say, and then 2,288,289, actually. Arthur gave for 38 years, put in $76,000, and his yield is 1,532,000. Still came out behind. Now, here's the point, is that God wants us to get hold of something, and what he wants to get hold of is this, is that when I want a quick fix, and I want a shortcut, and I want to enjoy it now, and I want the pleasure now, I don't want to step in and do the hard work and get on the hard path now, I want to feel good fast. You will feel good fast. You can have the rims, you can have the lift kit, you can have the Bose system, you can have the jet ski. But what happens is down the road, I will deeply regret the shortcut that I took. But if I were to master the art of delayed gratification and say, I'm going to invest in what's going to pay off in the future, then I'll be able to enjoy long-term what it is. And that's not just finances, it's relationships, it's spirituality, it's everything in your life. And he's saying, invest. So Solomon knew this a long time ago. He said it this way, finish your outdoor work and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. Does it make sense? Agricultural society, new dude's getting married, he's got his wife, and he's thinking, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go build the biggest, coolest mud hut or whatever they're living in. And I'm going to build the greatest house ever for my wife. And we're going to enjoy it. And it's going to be great. The problem is he doesn't get his fields ready. He doesn't plant. He doesn't do what's going to be the long term. So he has a beautiful house and no food in it. His wife gets mad and leaves him. He sits in his beautiful house all alone wishing that he had mastered the art of delayed gratification. I wish I had gotten my outdoor work done first and gotten my fields ready. Then I could have built my house and enjoyed it. So how many people here... how many people here would acknowledge right now, I've taken a few shortcuts, and I kind of regret some of the shortcuts that I've taken? The second thing we do is this, in addition to shortcuts, is we ignore warnings. We ignore warnings. Somebody tells us, don't do that, but we do it anyway. I don't know anybody here who knows Virginia Pooh. Love that lady. She is so cool. But here's her warning about sharks.
It's the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and eat meat in it. Hallelujah. I'm on my way to church this morning, but I wanted to make a quick video because my spirit was troubled this morning. I had the news on. It was talking about somebody else who got ate up by a shark. I want you all to be mindful when you're vacationing. You know, you're going to the beach, do that. Go to the beach. Don't go to the ocean, okay? The ocean is the shark's house. Okay, I can swim. I can swim. My whole body is a flotation device. My whole body is a flotation device. I don't have to do nothing to float. But I can't swim. Another thing that makes me suspect and makes me, you know, has my Negro membership card in question, because most black people can't swim, but I can swim. But I'm not going to the ocean, because that's the shark's house. Okay? The shark has the right to eat you up when you're in his house. When chickens come in my house, guess what? They get ate. When pigs come in my house, they own the plate. So when you go in the shark's house, you're going to get ate up, okay? So I want you to be safe. I want you to be happy. You know, let's use some common sense. If you go to the beach, go to the beach. You watch the ocean from a distance, okay? Please be safe. Safety first. Please, I don't want to hear about nobody from the meat ministry being shark bait. Okay, and stay out the woods too. Don't go fooling around with the bears either. The bears will eat you up. That's what they're supposed to do because you're in their house. You know, when animals come in my house, they end up on the plate. They get ate up. So the same thing happens when you go to their house. So stay out of the ocean, okay? That's the sharks. You know, can you imagine how excited the shark would be to see me land up on the plate in his house? Lord Jesus, oh God, no. So if you're going to, I just want you to be safe. Be happy, be fat, whatever meat is on your bones, rejoice in it today. Hallelujah, I love you. There's nothing that you can do about it. God love you, God keep you, and stay out them oceans.
I love her. I love her. Now here's the thing. I'm not trying to tell you stay out of the oceans, but when somebody says danger, shark infested waters, Somebody knows there's trouble there, and they've pointed out the trouble to you. Don't be a fool and go where people who know and people who have experienced it before you say, that's a path into danger. That's a path into a bad place. Like Vernal Falls in Yosemite, there's a beautiful place there. If you hadn't seen Vernal Falls, it's awesome. But there on the path above the falls, there's a place where there's a sign. That sign right there posted, danger, steep cliff, fatal drop. And so three hikers are up there at the top of Vernal Falls, and they just say, we want to see it closer. We want to get next to the river. We want to see it. So they cross over the boundary, and they go up next to the river, and people are warning them, stay back, move back from the river. But they know, no problem. They see the warnings. They see the caution, but yet they press past it, and all three of them are swept over the falls and are dead. And here's the reality is, you and I have that temptation and that tendency, and we even hear about it through Solomon in Proverbs. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the foolish keep going and suffer for it. The prudent see danger. Wise people see danger and they take refuge. They take action. They say, this is not a safe place. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to get out of this situation. I see danger coming. I get out of the way of danger. They have that wisdom, but foolish people keep going and they suffer for it. But why? Why do you keep going when you hear warning signs, when you hear danger? For the same reason those three kept going. Here's why. Number one, we've been close to the edge before. How many times do you think those three hikers have been close to the edge before? They've been to a place where somebody said, watch out, be careful. But they have been there and back, there and back, there and back. They've never fallen before. And since they've never fallen before, they begin to think, it must be okay. There must be something special about me. I must be able to go past those warnings and I'm not going to fall because I've been to the edge before and back. Then you may not have been to the edge of a waterfall before, but how many of you have been to the edge financially? And somehow somebody or something bailed you out financially, and so you get emboldened to go on making the same stupid mistakes because I've been to the edge before and I got rescued. How many of you have driven drunk and you didn't have the fatal accident or you didn't get the DUI, and so you keep driving drunk because you've been to the edge before and it didn't happen to you? How many of you have had sex outside of the covenant of marriage and you didn't get pregnant every time before, and so this time you move again to the edge because you've been to the edge before and you never fell before. And so you think to yourself, it's okay. And so many people do it. I have a friend that fell asleep driving and he said, man, it was a horrific accident. He was horribly injured in this accident. And he said to me, you have no idea how many times I've been asleep. He said, do you know that feeling, Jeff, when you're riding down the road and you're kind of nodding off and you're slapping yourself and you're doing that? He said, you know that feeling? I said, yeah. He said, I had that feeling lots and lots and lots of times. And the time that I fell asleep and almost died was no different than all those times before. You get to the edge and you get this false sense of security that it's not going to happen to me. And so whether it's driving sleepy or driving drunk, whether it's sleeping with somebody that you're not married to, or whether it's getting onto the internet and clicking buttons you shouldn't click, or whether it's taking financial steps you shouldn't take, you've been to the edge, and that has emboldened you to keep going back to places that there are warnings and danger signs that you're ignoring. Another reason is this. We believe we're the exception. Every single one of us is tempted to believe that we're the exception. And so how many people here know of somebody that's in their 80s or 90s that's been a chain smoker all their life? They smoke Camels without filters and they're perfectly healthy, you know? And you're going like, that's going to be me. I'm not going to be the one with emphysema. I'm not going to be the one coughing up blood. It's not going to happen to me. You think, I'm the one, I'm not going to become addicted. Out of all the kids who drink a beer at the party and it leads them, I'm not going to be the one. I'm not going to be the one that's going to end up with hepatitis. I'm not going to be the one that ends up with AIDS. I'm not going to be the one that ends up pregnant. It's not going to happen to me because I'm going to be the exception. Even though everybody made it clear that this path leads there, it's not going to happen for me because I'm the exception to the rule. I'm not going to have an affair. I'm going to disobey all the rules and the warnings about don't you text a woman who's not your wife and don't you be doing what's going on with you. But watch out what's happening here, but you feel like it's not going to happen to me. Scripture makes it real clear, he who walks with the wise, the one who walks with the wise grows wiser, but a companion of fools suffers harm. But I'm not going to be led astray by my friends who are doing stupid things. I won't be the one. And so we constantly think of ourselves as the exception, right down to, I can eat fried chicken and greasy bacon, and I can eat fried grease, and I'm not going to get heart disease. You know, we always think that we're it's not going to happen to us because we think of ourselves as the exception. And here's reality. There are exceptions. There are people who do no financial planning that at 45 years old they win the Reader's Digest sweepstakes and they're set for life, right? And so if you want to count on the same chances of being struck by lightning being your financial plan, then count on being the exception. But God's saying, here's the reality. I want you to be on a path that's going to take you to a place that's beautiful and that I planned for you to be. And that means mastering the art of delayed gratification. It means not choosing shortcuts. It means not ignoring warning signs because you've been to the edge and back and didn't fall last time or because you think you're going to be the exception. Don't buy that. It's time to make some changes. And so listen to this reality. Everything can change at the crossroads. The people of Israel, as a nation and as individuals, have been making all kinds of stupid shortcut decisions. I want wealth now. I want pleasure now. I want right stuff that I'm looking for now. And so they're disobeying all of God's commandments and all of His prescriptions and all of the path that He's called them to do so that they could get quickly to where they wanted to be. And it actually led them over many, many years of those same stupid decisions into a horrible place. And the people of Israel were in a place where they were facing destruction. As a matter of fact, they had some discipline coming whether they liked it or not. By this time, they were going to be disciplined. Their nation was going to be taken over by another nation. They were going to go into exile. It was going to be hard. And so this guy named Jeremiah comes to them, and what he's trying to say to them is, guys, it's going to be hard, but accept your punishment, accept the difficult time you're going to have, get on the path, and in the end, it'll be good. Just get on the right path. You'll have peace if you just make the right decision now. And so it's like speaking to somebody who's made poor financial decisions. Get on the path now. Yeah, it's going to be difficult now. You're going to have to jump in. You're going to have to pay down debt. You're going to have to work at it. But in the end, you'll have some beautiful things. Come on, make the decision. It's going to be a little tough right now. Yeah, I've got some relationships that I need to break off, and it's going to be painful now. But in the end, it'll be good. And so I've got some decisions to make. So he's saying, look, make wise decisions now. Get on the right path. And so here's how he said it to him. He said, this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Come on. I'm telling you truths that have been true since the beginning of creation, and God's Word holds true throughout. And he's saying, look, what I want you to do is stop right now. Stand at the crossroads and look. Look at the warning signs where you're headed and change course. Look at where your shortcuts have taken you and get off that path and get onto the path that's lasting peace. And he's saying, you'll find rest for your souls. But listen to what he says. But you said, we will not walk in it. And these folks would not walk in it. Why? Why wouldn't they walk in it? I don't want to think about the fact that I'm going to have to go into exile to pay the price for some things I've done and have to go through all this. I want a quick fix. I want somebody to tell me they can make it right today. I want somebody to tell me that I can just kind of hit the erase button and everything just be as it ought to be. I don't want to have to be on a long path and a difficult path. And so I want a shortcut. I want a quick fix. So I want to ask you a question right now concerning your life. What shortcuts are you tempted to take? What shortcuts and cuts in relationships? You might be getting ready to marry somebody that you know it and God's best for you, but you need so bad somebody right now. I need to feel good fast. You may be in a relationship you know is not healthy for you, but you're thinking, I can't bear the thought of loneliness tonight. I can't bear the thought of the pain that I'll go through letting this go. And so you won't step out of that relationship. You know that you need some serious financial help, but you won't face it and you won't dive in on it because you're scared to look at it. And you don't even want to have to deal with the financial mess that you're in. And so you keep on doing the same practices and still borrowing and getting further in and deeper in debt. But you're in this place where you keep being tempted to take the shortcuts. And as you know those shortcuts right now, I'm encouraging you to make a decision today, and that is to get off that path and get onto the path toward what God has for you. And if you don't know the shortcuts, I want to encourage you to do something. Ask somebody who loves in your life, what shortcuts do you see me taking? Do you see me making some decisions that I'm trying to get some feel quick fix? You know, I just want to feel good fast and I'm trying to get it. Please show me where I'm taking those shortcuts. And yours very well might be some pain pills you take or that couple of drinks you need every night. All I need is a few beers. I'm not an alcoholic because a few beers relax me and I feel good. If you had to have 3 cans of corn in a night, would you say you had a problem? Right? And God's saying, look, here's the thing. I I need you to be honest with yourself and honest with God right now, and I need you to ask yourself the question, what shortcuts am I tempted to take? Another reason they didn't is they ignored the warnings. Why? Because they'd been to the edge before and always been rescued back, and they always thought they were exceptions. You know, it's not going to happen to us. And God's saying to you right now, what warnings are you ignoring? There's a relationship that has big warning flags flashing in your face, and people have said it to you and pointed it out to you, and you have it within your own spirit, and you know there's something that's not right. What warning signs are you pushing past right now financially? What decisions are you making financially that you know there are warnings all around it? It's not a smart move. This is a shortcut. This is pushing past the warnings. What decisions are you making spiritually right now that God's saying, I've got warning signs all over what you're doing right now, and the decisions you're making and the places you're going? And again, ask somebody that loves you and just say, are there any things that you see, some big warnings in my life that I'm ignoring? Are there things that you see in my life? Do you see a relationship that seems unhealthy to you? Do you see me doing some things that don't seem to be like they're going to lead me in the right path? But when it all comes down to it, I just want to encourage you to this. Before you leave here today, today you stand at a crossroads. Today, right now, you stand at a crossroads. Stand at that crossroads and look. Ask the question, God, where have I been taking shortcuts? Where have I been ignoring warnings? As of today, I want to get on the right path. And do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it today. Do it today. The difference, please tune in. The difference between the wise and the foolish is not that the wise saw danger and the foolish didn't. Both of them saw danger. He says the wise person or the prudent person sees the danger and takes refuge. They take action. They do something about it because there's a warning. The foolish see the same danger, but they keep going and they suffer for it because they ignore the warnings. They think they're the exception. And God's saying to you right now, don't leave here. Don't leave here without taking the action or determining to take the action. You've got a call you need to make today to a counselor for your marriage. You've got a difficult conversation you need to have with somebody today where you confess what it is that you've actually been doing. You've got a sign up for Financial Peace University you need to make today. You've got decisions to make. You've got a club membership that you need to show up tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock. You need somebody to hold you accountable to get your behind out of bed tomorrow instead of hitting the snooze and get on to what it is that's going to make a difference in your life. You need to take the actions that are going to actually take you to where it is that God wants you to be. And so I'm going to ask that we open up this altar, and I'm going to ask that every single person in here ask the question, is there a crossroads for me? Is there a decision I need to make today? And if there is, I'm going to solidify it. I'm going to step up, I'm going to walk down the altar, I'm going to kneel before God and say, God, before this day is over, before this week is over, I'm going to take the action that's necessary to get me on the path to what you have for me. And somebody in here, your big direction change comes in this way. You've had a lifetime of shortcuts. You've had a lifetime of ignoring warnings. And today God is saying, you never had a relationship with me. You've wanted to feel good fast, and so you've put me off and put me off and put me off. One day I'll get to God. One day I'll get to God. One day I'll obey Him. One day I'll follow Him. One day I'll really surrender Him. One day, one day, one day. And God's saying, today's your day. You're at a crossroad. And I'm giving you one last warning. You will face me, and you will answer for everything in your life. I want you to come to me because I gave my son to pay the price for every mistake you've ever made, to give you complete forgiveness and to make you my own. And I will walk with you on the path into everything I created you to be. And I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But today you need to come to me. Today you need to come to me. You need to come to me and say, please forgive me. Thank you for giving your son to die for me. Please forgive me. And please take me today and begin leading me on that path. We invite you to stand. We invite you to come, whatever business it is that you have to do. So there may be somebody here today that warning that you've heard over and over again, and the reason you keep ignoring the warning is I've been to the edge and it's never happened. And that warning's been, look, you aren't promised another day. You're not promised another day. The truth is that you were created for a relationship with God, and you've been putting that off to totally surrender to Him for your whole life. And He's saying, don't let the fact that you've been to that edge again and again and you're still alive lull you into thinking that you're promised another minute. He's saying, you got to deal with it today. And so if you're that person or a person here that just says, I know that today I need. I'm at a crossroad today, and today I realize I need Jesus. Today I realize that I need to surrender my life to God. Today I realize I need forgiveness for lots of shortcuts, lots of ignored warnings in my life. But right now, I'm at the crossroads, and I'm choosing to follow Jesus. I'm choosing to ask my sins forgiveness right now. Ask Him, say, forgive me, please, Lord. And I'm choosing to ask Him into my heart right now. Ask Him, say, come into my heart. And I'm choosing from this day forward, I will follow Him with all my strength and might. I'll seek to honor Him and follow His path for my life. Today, I'm His. In Jesus' name. Now, if that's you, every week we celebrate the person in this room or persons who have made that decision. I'm going to ask you to lift your hand in a second. And nobody else, well, a few people will see you besides me, not a whole lot. But I want to see you. I want to point to you. But I'm going to ask you one more thing of you. If that's you, that you lift your hand, we're just going to celebrate that. But before the service is over, I'm going to ask you to walk over to the prayer booth and just let the people there know so they can pray for you and encourage you. So if today's your day, don't you be ashamed. You make sure the world knows it, that, man, today's my day, and I gave it to Him. Is there anybody over here that today's your day, and you just want to say, mine, right there, you go, girl. And I want to tell you something precious. If you are the only person, God says that's more important than everybody else in this room. Is there anybody else that this is your day? Anybody in the balcony that this is your day? Anybody ever here? Anybody ever here that this is your day? How about down in here? Is there somebody in here that this is your day? This is your day. Right there. You go, man. Same thing for you, man. Most important people in the room right now, we thank God so much. Anybody else in here? Anybody else in here? In the balcony, anybody up there? Anybody up there? How about in the balcony over there? Anybody? Anybody? All right, how about down in here? Is there somebody here that this is my day? Anybody right in here? I see a hand. I'm not sure if that's a hand. Is that a little man raising his hand, or is he sucking a sucker? All right. I think it's a sucker. All right, anybody else? Anybody else? All right. How many people want to welcome a new brother and a new sister into a relationship with God through Jesus? Y'all. We got a late start today because of some technical issues, and it made me thank God with all my heart for this amazing tech team and these awesome folks who played without monitors up here for all that time. We are so thankful. If you're ready, if you're all in, we invite you to lift your hands and just say, God, come on, bless me. May God bless you and me. May He bless all of us, every single one of us, to stay on the path to His best for us and avoid the shortcuts, never ignore the warnings, and be on the path to everything He desires for us to be. Amen. God bless.